The enemy's objective is to train us to stay put and forget that we have the power within us to just do the effort to break that chain, and we can do it. But if he can keep us distracted, we don't experience it.
And yes.
This album is called Revive because I've now experienced the power of breaking those chains.
I felt it in my spirit. This is my baby brother. There are four of us. Crystal's the oldest, then me, mm-hmm. then Anthony, and Jonathan is the youngest. So Anthony and I are right there in the middle.
Yes.
So we have this little special little bond thing where we have all these deep conversations, and we get to have one of them today. I'm excited mm-hmm. because you have new music.
I do. I have new music and a new journey and a new experience, and I'm glad to be able to talk about it with you and all the audience. I need to give the audience a breakdown, though. You named our siblings.
Yes.
Crystal is Miss Logical, like the oldest sister, Miss the Smart, like everything's methodical.
Yes.
And then Priscilla is Miss Personality. I got to tell y'all, she got in so much trouble for talking too much growing up, but now it's all worked out nicely. So that's it. And then my brother Jonathan, athlete and very determined, but I sit here and have flashbacks to us being kids and you just being Miss Personality. And I'm like, this is great. So anyway.
The thing is, though, you said Crystal was the smart one.
No, you're
and then you came to me and said I had personality.
Yes, but then you're smart right under that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, fine. Moving on.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
I would like to make clear before mm-hmm. we even begin, you are the guest.
Okay, got
and
it.
And I am the interviewer. In other words, this is my show.
Okay.
I get to say and ask you whatever it is that okay. I want to say to you
okay.
and what I want to ask you, because what I'm thrilled about is that we get to introduce to everyone that you have brand new music out. After how many years have you now been making music?
Oh, 24. So I started when I was 8.
or so.
Yeah. It's a 24 years.
Okay. And this is your what number album?
11.
11 albums in. That's a lot of investment, of creativity, mm-hmm. of vocal capacity, and you've been stretching yourself. The kind of music you've been doing through the years has shifted and changed mm-hmm. depending on where you are in your life.
Yes.
And this is the thing I love about your music is you're always writing songs, whether it's a collaborative effort or whether you're writing it yourself, you're always coming out of a place of where you've been in your life. Mm-hmm. They reflect what you've been processing spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And this project, which is named Revive, talk to me about what in your life has been leading you towards even the title of the record. Before we even get to the songs themselves, just what was happening in your life that made you want to think about reviving, being revived?
Well, it was a lot of things that was happening in our lives, really, mm-hmm. with our family, and a lot of prayers not being answered the way that I wanted them to be, and my faith being in question, to be honest. Like, I didn't make music because I felt like an actor getting into character to go sing songs I no longer believed. That's why I stopped. I would go sing places, but I would talk to the people who had me honestly and be like, I'm not in the place. Like, I'm not recovered from what life has done to me, and I'm not aligned with what I'm singing right now. So it took me a second to kind of like, I don't want to feel like an actor singing Christian music. That's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
So what happened is I had to make a decision. Do I just continue to let my faith deteriorate, or do I take the steps and do what I can and then believe that God's going to do what I can't and add himself to the effort that I put forward? Because I didn't even know which way to go to recover from, like, for example, us losing our mom or in that way. Or having the emotional spaces in my life just clouded. I didn't know which way to go. So the album's called Revive because I started taking steps and I felt God bringing things back to life in my heart and in my experience. And I was like, people need to know and experience this. So it's about the music, but it's more about the message that he can bring dead things to life in your heart that you think that are just done.
Yeah. Okay, here's the question I want to ask you. Like, 5 questions just sparked off in my brain from everything you just said. But did you keep going even while you knew you didn't feel like what it was you were singing, or you didn't feel like showing up? There are a whole lot of people that have been through loss just like we have.
Mm-hmm.
Devastating hardships, one after the other. Because not only did we lose mom, but there were 9 family members in the scope of 5 years that we lost. It was like back-to-back loss and chaos in our lives. And you're saying that you had to keep showing up to do a job that you didn't feel emotionally, spiritually connected to.
Right.
So I'm wondering, did you pull back and stop doing certain things, or did you keep going while just recognizing at the same time, I need to be working on the other area of my life? So there's so many people that have to keep going while they're struggling.
Yes, it was a balance because I had to keep going.
Yeah.
But I would be strategic. The honest conversations that I have, being vulnerable and honest and authentic with the, whether it was a church, you know, the church in Florida I go to often, sitting down with those pastors and saying, this is what's going on in my life right now. So to get up on the stage, it was hard, but I didn't feel like an actor because they knew the truth. Because they knew the truth. And then doing things with our family, that was undergirding and helpful to me. I got rid of the things that I could get rid of that were draining me of the energy to work on myself.
Okay.
So, and that varies for everybody watching. There are certain things though that we can clear off our plate that leave capacity for healing because you're not exhausted.
Yes.
And I had to strategically work that out.
You think that it takes a measure of courage
to
be willing to, number one, be authentic with the people around you that you can trust, to know the truth about what's happening with you? But it also takes a level of courage to say, you know what, this, people may be appreciating this, people may be applauding me for this, other folks may think, based on what they prioritize, that I need to do this. But it takes a level of courage to say, you know what, actually, I'm doing this and this is draining me. This is not helping me.
Right. And you actually told me, you taught me that. You taught me the power of no. And you taught me the art of when you say no to something, you're saying a simultaneous yes to something else. Mm-hmm. So when I said no to whatever opportunity that people thought was amazing and huge, I was saying yes to my spiritual well-being. And that yes matters more than the no. There'll be another opportunity. You said this to me. Mm-hmm. There'll be another opportunity to go do that. There won't necessarily be another opportunity for you to walk forward in healing at this time.
Yeah.
So that was the decision that I had to make. And some of the no's were hard until you experience
the yes.
Yeah, yeah. When you start to experience the yes, like me sitting here with a light heart and talking about music, I thought that would never happen again. Wow. So, but that was because the no's landed at this yes.
That's good. Yes. And this yes in this project too.
Yes.
Like that's a big yes that you got to have the mental margin, the spiritual margin, the emotional margin, and the sparks of creativity that are required to be able to put any sort of project together in a valuable way.
Yep.
All of that diminishes when we just keep going and going and going while not tending to our emotional
Absolutely.
Needs.
Absolutely. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The depth of these songs is because of that. Like if I wouldn't have taken the time to heal and just cranked out more music, it wouldn't have the depth of these songs. There's a song on the album called 828 that's Romans 8:28, him working things together for your good. But that's coming from a different place now. Like we've quoted that verse for years, a lot of us. That's coming from a different place. Or the bridge of that song is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. Sometimes I stop that verse there and I don't go in to the end of that verse that talks about the power that is already in us. I was not experiencing the power within me that was already in me because I was so distracted by doing too much. And I think the enemy's objective is to distract us from the power that is within us so that we will not be able to experience exceedingly abundantly more. And I was distracted from that power.
Come on, you're preaching today.
I just really was. You know, Daddy, I'm talking a lot because I've had too much coffee. But
I'm
so excited.
Slow down. So I always have to tell him to slow down.
But it's
your
I go
coffee
fast.
Situation is out of control, sir. Dad, you were going
to
say something.
He used to take us to the circus growing up, and I loved animals so, so much. And I remember seeing the elephants in the parking lot and being mesmerized by the fact that this elephant had a chain around its ankle that was in a stake in the ground, and it didn't realize if he just pulled one good time, he'd be running the show.
He didn't even have to try hard to pull the
exactly.
stake out. Yeah.
But he was fooled to, he forgot the power within him because of that chain that was around his ankle.
He'd been trained to stay put.
Exactly. Put and forget that we have the power within us to just do the effort to pull that, break that chain, and we can do it. But if he can keep us distracted, we don't experience it. And
yes.
This album is Revive, called Revive, because I've now experienced the power of breaking those chains.
I felt that in my spirit. I felt it in my spirit.
That's a big deal because you're the speaker.
No. Okay, but this is something people may not know about you, which I'm sure lends itself to your songwriting and your creative capacity, but you are a master illustrator. You're a great storyteller. And you know that, like, we always are commenting on when we're having conversations about regular life stuff, you're able to pull out an illustration like about the circus and an elephant and make a substantial spiritual point about something that's impactful and people can grab hold of that. So you do that through your music too. You're telling a story that has spiritual principle and encouragement to help people to stay buoyed up in the midst of life's hard stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So describe a little bit more about this disparity you were seeing in your work, your ministry, and what you were feeling. Tell us how you were feeling in your heart, your soul, and your mind that was causing a discrepancy between what you were singing.
I felt like I was playing injured. Like an athlete.
Here goes the illustration. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Here it is.
Like an athlete who has a sprained ankle, but the athlete that everybody expects to be on the court dunking. So they just wrap their ankle and go out and keep playing. And ultimately, the damage that can be done by you playing injured, you can be completely forever taken off the court if you keep playing injured.
Yeah.
So that's what I felt like. I felt like something's off. I know what I'm capable of with ministry and myself. I know what I'm capable of, but something is off. And I didn't make the choice to sit down. The Olympics 2020, Simone Biles, the champion of the universe. Everybody knows she's about to, I mean, the expectation on her was huge. And she went up to do this vault and landed crazy. And everybody thought, what is happening to the champion? She was capable of a lot, but her mind was not right. And she had to admit, I have the twisties.
And if
I keep going for y'all, I'm going to injure myself in a way that I might not be able to recover from because I'm trying to perform for y'all.
Yeah.
So that's what I felt like. And I had to get to the point where if I keep going, like I have the twisties, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I have the twisties and I have to stop because if I keep going, the injury to me is...
And the people attached to you
is going to be a problem. So that's what I felt like. And so I had to, you know, let people down in some ways, but...
I don't know why Anthony and I often joke about and comment on the fact that we are thinking similar things or like one of us will text the other one when the other one is composing a text to send to the other one. Like it happens all the time.
Or you'll wear a purple shirt today. Yeah. I wear this purple sweater on
accident. Today we showed up and it looks like we tried to coordinate and we didn't. We just showed up like this.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I kid you not, yesterday I was thinking about the Simone Biles situation. The courage that it took that girl to say, I don't care. Because, I mean, I remember the media coming at her.
Like,
I remember people canceling her, speaking negatively about her. Why in the world? You're representing the U.S. I mean, think about the pressure.
Yes.
You're representing all of us and you're going to give up? And I just remember seeing her look squarely into a camera to do a news little conference that she was doing. And she was just saying and describing what the twisties were and that she knew she could decimate her entire career, not to mention the quality of her life with an injury if she just kept going because everybody else wanted her to.
Exactly.
The courage it takes to admit something is out of balance here, whether emotionally, spiritually, even physically. We can run ourselves into the ground
physically. In the name of ministry.
In the name of ministry.
Yeah.
So it takes courage. What you're saying is freeing somebody up right now is what it's doing because the entire culture surrounding us in society, but also in ministry, is hustle, grind, keep going all the way to the end of yourself, the end of your physical health, the end of your family. People are frayed in every way, but they feel like around them, there's this constant pressure to keep going. And what you're describing is having the courage to pause for a second, take a deep breath, ask the Lord about the season he has you in right now, and then trust that this is not a fruitless season, even though it might feel or seem less outwardly productive, that the Lord is using this as groundwork for what's coming next.
Exactly. Exactly. When you talk about the season of kind of just waiting and you watch people around you are moving, this is so random, but here's another story. Now I'm aware of it now that you talked about the illustrations. I love boats. I love being on water. I love it so much. But they took us to the engine room because I was so intrigued about how this thing actually works. And then they got to this point where they showed us in the engine room this automatic stabilizer system that this yacht had. And bottom line is that when waves hit it, there was something inside of it that shot water out on the side that a wave hit on so that it would not capsize. It was an automated system that was built into it. But for that system to be built in, it had to go to dry dock and had to sit. It was made for the water, but it had to sit on the dry dock to get the system put in it so it will not turn over when the waves hit. The time that I have taken off was my dry dock time. While everybody else is sailing and having the greatest time. But what got put in me through work on my mental health, on my, obviously my spiritual health are stabilizers. So when life's waves are hitting me, I don't not feel the wave, but I don't capsize because Romans 8:28 will shoot out of my heart.
Yeah.
Or Philippians 1:6 will shoot out of my heart on the other side while the scenarios are hitting me hard. So I—
Shucks, you need to know that I'm going to steal all of that. I can assure you.
When y'all read this in a book, I told her—
The first time I'll give you credit. After that, the Lord told me.
I said it was. Okay. I'm just saying, yeah,
that's
kind of—
That's great. People need to hear that. Mm-hmm. And out of you being at the dry dock, a whole new project, a project that wouldn't have the depth, it wouldn't have the creativity, it wouldn't have the beauty and power that it's going to have in people's lives if you hadn't taken time to just let the Lord stabilize you. Okay, we're going to talk about the music, but I want to ask you one more question because you mentioned specifically mental health.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to sit here for just a few minutes and talk to you about this because this has been a big deal for you. And you have invested in your mental health.
Yes.
I think that folks, particularly in the church, it's more and more acceptable now to discuss openly.
Yes.
But it hasn't been historically.
Right.
So I think you even discussing it now will give somebody permission to realize they can address their mental health. What brought you to that point of realizing, I need, just like I might get a trainer to help me with my physical health or a financial advisor to help me because I want to plan and budget well for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I need some training, somebody to gird me up in my mental health. What brought you to that point and what have you done over the course of more than a decade now?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you just walk through this.
Yeah, you mentioned the trainer or the somebody helping you with your finances. I liken it to a tutor. In ninth grade, I had the hardest time in math class. I could not understand. Ms. Simmons would be at the board explaining this formula that works every time.
Simmons.
And she had a book of truths, formula she was working on the board. And I had my hand up the whole class. And finally, she goes, Anthony, in order for you to pass, you're going to need tutoring. And we have a book of truths here. We have the formulas that always work, but you're having a hard time understanding these formulas. So in order, I did not fail because I admitted that I needed tutoring. Mental health and therapy and working through things is not saying that the Bible doesn't have the power or that you don't trust the Lord. It's saying, if I read Be Anxious for Nothing, I need tools to help me be anxious for nothing because that's not—
How do I do
how
that?
How do I do
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And implementing those into my life and having to admit to myself, I think it's hard for Christians or people of faith or people in professional ministry to admit, I need help. But once I did that and people started coming to my life who were trained in mental health.
Yes.
And I got to tie that into my faith, that changed everything. I learned the art of being kind to myself. I learned about toxic relationships. And actually, because of my faith, I was setting myself up and getting into scenarios where I became a victim of my own compassion because I was forgiving and all that stuff. There comes a point where, you know, like if my MacBook breaks or something, there comes a point where the restart doesn't work. You have to send it back to the manufacturer because they know how to fix it. I wouldn't send people back to the manufacturer. I would not turn them back over to God. I would still keep trying to fix and fix and fix. And that was messing with my mind. So I had to learn. We could talk about this forever, but those are just a few things. And once I got rid of toxic relationships, once I started being kind to myself, once I admitted that I needed tutoring, mentally, that changed everything. That was a major part of the revival in my heart. And I know it can be a major part of the viewers' revival in their heart, of having tools to help them.
Yes. So you're not saying any of that for you displaced or removed the primacy of the Bible, of prayer, of faith, all those things. You're just saying, here's what I know to be true. Now I'm going to take this to someone so that they can have a conversation with me on the practical way to live in light of what I just read.
Practical way to live in light of my faith. That's where the—
How does
clear.
2 plus 2 equal 4 in this next 24 hours of my actual day?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good.
And I remember just having to clear things out of my life. When we were growing up, our mom, who we love so much, she's the best cook. She just would cook stuff. But I remember she would not come place things on the table. If I had my homework and Twinkies or whatever on the table, dinner
not
would
Twinkies.
Be, I know, just random snacks because I ate too much. But she would not serve the dinner until I cleared the table, until I cleared and set
the
table.
Clear the table off, y'all. Set the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so me working on my mental health, I believe that happens a lot with the Lord. He has something fresh for us, but we have clouded up our lives with so much. And clearing the table of my heart, my emotions, my life, I got things placed in front of me that now make it so much easier.
That were prepared for you. They were prepared to give to you, but you had to clear the space so you could receive
them.
Yes.
And when I didn't clear the space for our mother, the meal would get cold. And when you don't clear the space in your life for what God has for you, what he has piping hot and ready can start to cool down. Mm. You may miss some of those things. So that's also part of Revive is, and part of mental health and everything is just kind of clearing out all the clutter and allowing God to place something there he had for me. And every time I clear, he places something down. So now it's easy. I'm like, okay.
That's right.
Because he has something.
Because you have a track record that he's faithful and he's good.
He is faithful.
And he's kind. And just in case anybody's discouraged, because in that last illustration you mentioned, you know, waiting too long, the meal gets cold. God's grace and mercy is so sufficient that it is retroactive.
Yep.
That he's like, don't worry about that. I got a good whole microwave system back here.
Or
I'll do something better.
Yep.
That's what God does.
Always.
Nothing is lost with him.
No.
Out of this season of your life, of a lot of hard work, because I don't want anybody to think you were sitting at the dry dock just like enjoying the sunrise.
No.
You've done had a lot of hard conversations with therapists, with your family, with the people close to you that you can be authentic and vulnerable with. A lot of hard conversations, a lot of tears, a lot of struggle as you try to contend with the word of God and what it is that he wants you to do. And then the creativity that he's so good that in seasons where we feel like nothing is happening, all of a sudden you start to see through the dry cracks of life, just little bits, little glimpses of growth and greenery. And like the Lord saying, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I got it.
Uh-huh.
Something good's coming out of this. And now we have Revive.
Yeah.
It's such a good record, Anthony.
Oh, thank you.
I keep saying record. Does that date me?
I mean,
we still say record?
It's kind of a throwback term. You know what I mean?
It's
a good record, album.
What do you call it? An album? What do the artists call it?
Yeah, an album, record, we say that. Body of work.
A new body of work.
Yeah.
That sounds so official.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little over the top.
The thing is, I'm glad you mentioned that because it is a body of work. And in this day and age where everybody's downloading one song here, one song there, what I see in Revive is a story that you have told from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And I think when someone grabs hold of the whole story, there's a revival that's going to take place in them because they'll see the trajectory of where you were headed from point A to point B.
Yeah.
What was the creative process for you like as you were writing these songs and then thinking about musically how to get them together and prepare them? What is the process like for producing a record like this?
It is. I love that at-home, connected feeling. You know how I love to be with family and friends. So the process to me starts at my house with my friends who are wildly talented.
They are.
The musicians I get to work with and the writers are just wildly talented. So some of these songs started in just honest conversation about me talking about, like, there's a song called Even If, and I was talking about I had to make a choice at one point when the healing didn't look the way that we would choose, would I worship him even if he didn't allow that to happen? And I was talking to my friend about that, and then the song Even If came out of that. Because I know that there are people who are like, I have to make a decision. At some point, if God does not map this out the way that I had intended or the way I thought, am I going to worship him when circumstances don't look like what I want them to? So that's the songs come out of honest conversations and stuff like that. I try not to go like, okay, now we're going to formulate an album. It's not that.
It's just out of life, out of the struggle.
Over the last year, the song about our mom, for instance, I was asked to write a song for a movie, a BET movie. I got to produce the music for that. And sons were singing to their mother in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the actress walked to me right after she sang. I mean, it's all right after she was in the scene. With tears in her eyes. And she goes, I know you don't know that I know the story of your mother, but she is so proud. And every lyric you just wrote was for your mom. And I felt it.
Wow.
Then I finished the song for our mom because I was writing it for a movie. But she was like, no, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
So that's how that song got birthed. So it's been a lot of scenarios like that.
You mentioned that song, Even If, which I've heard many times now. And every time you have sung that in front of an audience that has been gathered, I mean, it's like they can't help but to stand up in response to this reality that it's a throwback to the Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel. Basically, we believe our God can, but even if he don't, we've still made a decision. Our allegiance is to Yahweh and Yahweh alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to live that out. Like, Lord, we're praying in this direction. not only would this be wonderful for us if you would answer with mom and with others, like, Lord, if you would answer this way, but also it'd be good for you.
Like, yeah, like we'll make sure we do all the things to give you the glory. Like, and you'll, yeah.
You will really be glorified, Lord, if you will do it this way in our timing, the way we would want you to. But then being able to move the needle of your prayer to, but even if your will doesn't look like what we would prefer, we have decided that for me and my house, what we're going to do is we're going to serve the Lord. That's a hard truth to swallow. That's even if you love the Lord, that's a hard truth to swallow.
But as you mentioned, when the audience starts to engage, it makes the truth easier for me to swallow. Like when I'm watching them join in that, because everybody has their even if scenario.
Totally.
If you are alive, you have a scenario where you're like, God, if you don't, I got to make a decision. I'm going to still worship. I think when we collectively come together authentically like that, that is what propels us forward in our faith. That's what the album's about, is us experiencing this together. This isn't a performance album. I'd do some kind of other kind of music.
Nobody got time for that.
Nope.
We could be doing something different.
If it was about performance, yeah. So that's what it is.
I think when people are responding to music or to a message they're hearing, the response, like we were talking about people standing, it's almost like testimony. When I see somebody else stand, I see, I'm not the only one that has gone through a hard thing or that has had to make this decision to push past my feelings to choose allegiance to God despite what's happening in my life. It's just not me. Other folks are with me and like me. And like you said, there's encouragement in that.
Yes, and that's a powerful thing that we do at your events. You have people stand up who've experienced deliverance in a certain area and pray over others. And for some people, them at Fervent events, that is their moment. They see somebody next to them stand up having experienced deliverance and they know they're not alone. That's what this album is about. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you said.
Can you narrow down three things that you feel like God taught you during how long did it take you to make the album?
It's been a little over a year.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's just so important for people to hear.
Yeah. It wasn't like last week we decided to.
Yeah, last week we put a little record together. No, it's a year process, probably before that, pen to paper, but then getting in the studio, recording, making sure that all the tracks are right, because you're involved in every level of production of every song that you produce. You're not just like singing into a mic and then going home. Mm-mm. All of the balancing of everything, all of the singers arranging all of the notes of all of those details, that's you.
Yeah.
So this is a year process. Where you're still living through this year. You're working on a project, but you're living through this year. So can you look back over the course of the arc of that year and pinpoint two or three things that while you were recording, God was teaching you this?
Oh my goodness. There's so so many things while I was recording.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess what I mentioned, one of the things that I mentioned of him being able to take your leftovers and make them into something beautiful. I'd have moments along the way where we'd finish the vocal for a song and I would remember how I felt a few years ago, thinking that there's no way that he could be working any of this together for my good. And when that vocal finished, him being like, yes, I can, like in that moment. So that's one thing that he taught me. But what it took me is doing what I could, and then God would do what I can't.
That's right.
He magnifies your effort. Mm-hmm. So Daddy, when we were little, would walk up behind me during Little League baseball and grab the bat, and I was hitting nothing. And Daddy walked up behind me and grabbed the baseball bat. He didn't tell me to walk away. He grabbed the bat over my hands, and all of a sudden I became Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
He magnified my effort. That is one of the things that God taught me, is you have to do what you can, and I will wrap my arms around your circumstance and magnify your effort. And you'll go from striking out to home runs because you're doing what you can, but inviting me into your circumstance. So that was wildly huge. He taught me briefly, when it comes to setbacks in your life, like in my career, I've had setbacks a long time ago when it wasn't gospel and contemporary were so split and separate and everything. And I felt very kind of alone in figuring it out. He taught me that alone time, that you feeling alone was because I wanted to set you up to be self-sufficient and to produce things. I had events with your family in mind that I needed you to know this for. And the only way you would know how to do this is if things didn't work out for you and everybody was handing you everything in your life. So the setbacks, the current setbacks are setups. That was a big, huge.
Okay, I'm pausing. I know. Here.
Okay.
Because you're saying so many incredible things, and I don't want anybody to miss what it is you're describing, because when you talk about the early points in your career, you were in the middle of two worlds of music.
Mm-hmm.
You're not quite gospel enough to be in the gospel industry. You're not quite CCM enough to be, you know, in that radio play of those. So you're somewhere in the middle and you're floundering and you're all by yourself. And this is years we're talking about, where you're laying the groundwork of writing music and producing music and you're signed with a label and all of that. But it just seems to be sort of floundering. So this is lonely. This is frustrating.
Yes.
You're just feeling discouraged because all this work, but you don't feel like there's fruit from the investment you're making.
Right.
Years later, you look back and realize that because you had to do so much alone, it actually prepared in you not only the character, but the plain old flat out skill, because you had to produce so much by yourself.
Right.
That now you have the skill to write whole records, to stand there and balance all the vocals, to think through how am I going to make sure that people know the record exists so that they can grab hold of it into their own life. You know all that because of those hard years.
Right.
I do want to talk about Mom.
Okay.
We've brought Mom up several times already. But for many people who don't know what happened with our mother, just kind of walk them quickly through that and then what song on this album that was birthed out of that.
Yeah. Our mom, beautiful, regal, you know, like a queen's presence. She grew up in British Guyana. So there was that part of her culture, the British part, but she's also just a refined human being in general.
Yeah.
Dedicated her life to ministry, supporting our dad. People here know the name Dr. Tony Evans and they know Dr. Lois Evans, but they don't know that our mother undergirded every aspect of our dad. He's brilliant. But there was just plates being spun everywhere and she would spin them and catch them as they fall. So
While raising
four of us, which is so confusing to me, how that was even possible. Now that I'm watching y'all raise, I'm just lost. But she got diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and we were told, like in a very dramatic way, our dad breaking into tears. We don't see him do that often because we saw him hopeless, which we don't see him ever.
Mm-hmm. Or just not hopeless, but not knowing what the solution could be, because he'd been told there are no longer any solutions for this. Yeah.
That was a hard thing to see. But we had about 9 months to literally say goodbye to our mother, believing that whole time. So my gratitude for her, it's kind of this whole thing of hindsight's 2020, which is the song on this album is an encouragement to those who still have their moms, to thank them, to gloat over them. Our mom wanted to make sure that mothers weren't unseen, women in ministry weren't unseen, pastors' wives, that was her desire. So my desire in doing this song was to obviously thank our mom, but literally encourage the audience to thank. There are so many things that I promise you will figure out later she was doing to keep you covered and to keep.
That's right.
You have an opportunity to thank her now. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to say thank you to our mom. And I think about her obviously multiple times a day and see another nuance of like, she was doing this too. This is crazy. But in losing her, it's like one of the ways I figured out a way to work on grief was to do things in the now to honor her and her legacy.
That's great.
That helps you grieve, to change that energy into that. And that's what this song is as related to being dedicated to her, is to kind of.
So when someone outside of that particular song, when someone grabs hold of this project that you've spent a year of your life plus really investing in, and honestly, it's just a year in the production process, because honestly, this has been 10 years in the work.
Yeah.
As you've worked through and walked through hard things, regular life things, but also difficult, hard things you've had to struggle through.
Right.
So it's been a big process for you to put this record together. When someone grabs hold of it and incorporates it into the playlist of their life, what are you hoping they walk away with?
I'm hoping more than anything that they walk away with hope, they walk away with not feeling alone, and they walk away knowing that, again, when you do what you can, God will magnify it and you can do what you can't. That's and it's all wrapped in excellence. We want that to be the thing and to enjoy it, but this is about having hope. Coming from a guy that's been broken and has a bunch of issues, but God seems to take those issues and rearrange them and make them into something like this. That's the objective.